It was sort of like, okay, this is the last time I'm going to do this hour like this. And then I did it. And yeah, it was one of the better sets I've ever had for sure.
Brand new episode. This is Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom, and I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Hopefully you're staying warm if you are living anywhere within the continental USA. It has been pretty damn chilly where we reside here in Omaha, Nebraska, or more importantly, Gretna, where we are your number one comedy podcast that broadcasts primarily out of Gretna, Nebraska, that has a host with red hair. They really like dive into some of those statistics, really to kind of give you, you know, where your trends are and kind of where you rank. It's pretty neat that they can dive in that deep, and honestly, I appreciate it. It really shows who our fan base is. So thank you to everybody who's specifically looking for a comedy podcast that broadcasts out of a side suburb of Omaha, Nebraska, and happens to have a host with red hair. I appreciate you all. We've got a very special episode. Comedian Zach Peterson is on the show. Brand new stand-up special comes out. A list of wet celebrities comes out January 25th on YouTube. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about horror movies. We're going to talk about Seattle Seahawks football. He's a big fan, so we've got that coming up. Myself, I've been thinking about football as well. The NFL playoffs started this weekend. I had the biggest play that I've had all season. You guys know I like to gamble a little bit and I like to work the lines. And I think even my friends at Where's the Line, WTL podcast, they would be proud because I ran the science on the Chiefs game. And the Chiefs hosted the Dolphins Saturday night. And I looked at the temperature, and we knew it was going to be cold. And most people, when they say, "Oh, it's going to be a cold, it's going to be a running attack, it's going to be, you know, one in the trenches," I look at it and say, "This game isn't even going to be won on the field itself." No, no, no. If you look back in history at all the games that are ultra cold, I mean, I know this game was like historically cold, but all the like real cold games, it comes down to which head coach looks the coldest. And I remember this. I mean, how often do we see Tom Coughlin, head coach, former head coach of the New York Giants, just beat red face? He had his jacket on. He probably had a stocking cap just kind of half off his head. And he looked like he was going to die. He looked like he was going to have frostbite. Always won the game. Always won those cold games. Anybody who's watched Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs and formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know that he himself has been involved in some pretty cold games and generally comes out ahead in those very cold games. He's not afraid to put on a big puffy coat, and that's about it. And he really showed up and showed out Saturday night. He had the frozen mustache, the big, bold icicles under his nose throughout the second half. He looked like he was out there with his players, giving it everything he had in the cold. The opposing coach, Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins, he couldn't have been wearing more layers. In fact, his whole face was covered other than his eyes, where his glasses were. And you could tell, you know, they talked to him coming out of the halftime, and you could tell he was cold. And that's the thing. You can't show it. You can't be like, "I'm doing everything I can to try to stay warm." You're a warrior out there, okay? Andy Reid's a warrior. And I saw the science. I saw the science ahead of time, and I knew the Chiefs were going to cover 4.5, so I put that play out there. I put it on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you knew at first that the Chiefs -4.5 was a lock. I'm going to keep my eyes on the rest of the playoffs. And, if the cold creeps up again, I'll be there weighing the head coaches and seeing which one's going to come out. But if Andy Reid's one of them, hey, you know what? They're playing in Buffalo this weekend. We're gonna be watching the temperature on that one. Because Andy Reid in the cold, you know it's a winner. We've got a big, big show for you here on Laugh With Me this week. Zach Peterson is here. He's promoting his brand new special, A List of Wet Celebrities. It comes out on YouTube January 25th. The audio version, which you will find on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, anywhere that you get your music and podcasts. You can get that on January 19th. Zach is one of the funniest and smartest comics going around today. You can find him all over the country. His tour dates are on ZachPetersonComedy.com. He's here. He's on Laugh With Me. It's Zach Peterson.
Hey, thanks for having me. Stoked to be here.
You're a busy guy. I was just looking at your tour schedule. You're not only promoting the new special, but you are all over not just the Midwest, the North, and it's winter. Like, how do you deal with all the travel in the midst of winter?
Oh, I don't think about my feelings, and I just keep going. I just drove through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, through all this like blizzard stuff, and yeah, it sucks. I don't like doing it, but I like doing stand-up comedy, and it's just what it's what my work is, it's what my job is, so I keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You were just in Mankato. You've got Omaha coming up, Sergeant Bluff on January 27th, Kansas City on February 2nd. You were all over hitting the snow and hitting the ice. But we're here to talk about A List of Wet Celebrities. I had the opportunity to be at the special. The energy in the room was off the charts. I don't know that awesome. I've ever been in another room that's felt like that, like everybody was expecting something special. Tell me about it. I guess my big thing is, what was it like preparing for that? How long have you been preparing for it? Like, kind of what was that like?
Sure. As for the show itself, it was incredible. It was, I couldn't have asked for anything more in terms of the audience. Those jokes I have been doing for the past 6 years, and that's like including the pandemic. So I don't know, like 4 years, like however long it took me to write all those. But, I work consistently. Like you saw my website, I'm always running around and those are the jokes I'm doing. Yeah. So like infrequently and rarely do I actually get to do my full hour in Omaha, and if I do my hour in Omaha, I'm putting in a lot of new stuff. I'm messing around a lot, because I'm just like trying to see what works and have a good time. But this was like the first time in a very long time, and I don't do it very often, but I, especially like, with a place like the Funny Bone, I usually am featuring there. I'm not headlining there. But I put my best hour up, and when I go out to, do other cities and other shows, like, this is what I'm doing. This is the A+ material. This is the stuff that's tried and true, not taking any chances with anything. So it's, it's all there, years of work. And then, now I'm trying to move on from it.
Yeah.
But essentially like just all the other years of working on it, it was the prep for it. But I knew I had an hour because I've been doing that hour all around the Midwest. And so it was sort of like, okay, this is the last time I want to do this hour like this. And then I did it. And it was better sets I've ever had for sure.
So out of like that 4 years and you're, working out the jokes, like how do you, especially when you're in those like 5 to 6 months leading up to it, how are you planning for what you're going to work on night to night to make sure that the hour, once you get to the taping, that it's rock solid?
Right. It just depends on the set that I'm having. If I'm doing a 10-minute set, then I'm going to work on the thing that I think needs the most work. But when I'm doing like a headlining set and I'm doing 60, I'm working on groupings of jokes. I'm trying to find out which jokes work best with other jokes and which flow best, where I have like the sort of the lowest amount of work it will take for me to get from one joke to another joke without losing the momentum that I already have. So that last 6 months, there weren't a lot of jokes that weren't finished, that weren't like done. And there were some, like there's a joke and there's the Halloween joke in there that's pretty new.
Yeah.
When that started, but now it's completely different. And I've been telling it a lot since. But like leading up, it was essentially just repetition, understanding the jokes better and sort of understanding my delivery and what to emphasize and what sort of physical characteristics I can bring to the stage that make the joke better.
Wow. So the show went amazing. As you said, you couldn't have gone any better, and I couldn't agree. Like, it was an incredible night. What?
Thank you.
What happened after? Like, what? How'd you celebrate?
Oh, nothing. I am an extremely boring person. All my fun and energy gets transferred into stand-up comedy. Then the rest of the time, I just sleep with a tube.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was just really excited to get started on a new hour, to start writing again, start working on stuff. I mean, it's really intimidating, you know, to have a whole hour of stuff and then you go, okay, back to zero and start building back up.
Well, I grew up listening to Jerry Seinfeld, and he did the special, you know, I'm telling this for the last time, and he just threw it all out and it blew my mind, you know. When I was a teenager, it was like, that's your life's work. Like, now it's all gone.
Right. Right. I mean, this List West Celebrities, this is my second hour. So I mean, this is the second time I've done it. Although, I mean, I want to be honest, like I just did the road this week, and you know, probably about 60% of the stuff I told is on the new album, on the List West Celebrities, because I don't have a new hour yet.
Right.
I'm trying out new stuff and I'm working on new stuff, and the stuff that's not on the record takes precedence for when I'm on shows where I, you know, but I have time to fill everywhere I go because they're, you know, they're paying me for an hour of stand-up comedy. So what I'm doing is I'm just eliminating stuff as much as I can. But I did, like last Saturday, I had to do over an hour in Wisconsin. So I just pulled out all the stops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and just like did all the old stuff I could, even stuff from the first album.
Yeah. So I noticed like on your TikTok, like you've been reading through like some of your old notebooks because you're constantly writing for years and years and years. Does any of those, as you're creating that content for TikTok, I mean, does any of those jokes start to bleed into, that works now and I can use that today?
Yeah. Yeah. When I sometimes like, the idea of a joke will just sort of come to me and I'm like, okay, that's what I'm going to work on. Cool. Other times I don't have anything really to work on in terms of a new joke. So I have to find a joke. You know, there's a, like success is what, like luck and timing or something. Yep. I don't know. Like it's just, I'm just going to butcher it. But, you know, I just keep writing and sometimes it doesn't work. But what I'll do when I don't have an idea, I'll go through old notebooks and I'll find little snippets of jokes. And I go, oh, okay, that was a good idea. But now I have this other idea that I can play with this joke. And it will, you know, that's where the germ of the joke starts. And I mean, even the stuff I'm working on now, a lot of times my jokes it'll take years to fully ferment into like what they become. Like the closer on the old one, on the new one, or what do you call it, the List of West Celebrities, is about like a pickle in a movie. And I was trying to do that joke for years and I could never get it to work just because of I couldn't frame it right or whatever. But I got it to work, and then it became like, I, you know, you usually put your best joke at the end. It became my best joke. So it's just a matter of whenever you can get it to work. Like I'm doing this new joke on the NFL draft and football, and it's like stuff that I've sort of had half ideas for in the past and have tried on stage, but now I'm like really refining them and making them better and they're working better and better.
So do you find working it out, like on actually saying it on stage in front of the audience, is the best recipe for you on how to manipulate the joke? Or is it like in the workshops? Like, I know you host a workshop, a mm-hmm. writing workshop, where you're working with other comics, and it's just like, how do we make the joke, you know, better? What, like, what's right. your, I guess, outlet for finding the magic to it?
It's sort of, yeah, put it on stage. When I'll do it at open mics, and depending on how it goes there, I may take it to another show. Because right now I am trying to write more and have more of the stuff that's not on the record, especially when this special comes out. I want to be on the road, and people are going to have to have seen the special.
Yep.
So they're going to want new jokes. So I'm hoping to at least get like 20 new minutes. You know, it's been almost a year. That's how slow going it can be. And I'm like, I wouldn't say a perfectionist. I'm just, I guess it's hard on myself would be a better way of putting it. Yeah.
Oh, I say, do you find that, like you were just saying, you want to bring new jokes to the people, but do you find people enjoy like kind of like hearing your favorite song from a band that maybe they want to hear, right. you know, a joke that they really enjoyed seeing on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people like, I love that joke and I'm glad you told it again. Other times, you know, people will be like, oh, I saw that joke. I can't wait to hear the rest of this stuff or more stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag. But when it comes to like doing stuff on stage and sort of seeing how it works, yeah, just get in front of people because they're the ones that determine if it's successful or not.
True.
I'm not the one that's like, hey, everyone, like, this is a good joke. And everyone's like, he's right. And and they just go along with it. But like, I've been working on this joke about like anxiety disorders. And then I just sort of started riffing on, you know, like everyone has an anxiety disorder, even like pets. Did you know you can get an Xanax prescription for your cat and then take the pills?
Oh, wow.
And that was just some sort of something that I riffed and then it got a big laugh. And then it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's part of the joke now, because it worked and I was really struggling to find anything that was really funny. And honestly, I don't think that that's like too interesting of a joke or too funny, but I'm not the one who gets to decide.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a cat that's too chill? I mean, they already sleep right. all day.
Right, right. Well, the rest of that joke is like, I go, yeah, like you could take all their pills. They won't say anything because they're too worried. Like, hey, what's going to happen if I rat him out? I'm like, you really need to take some pills, man.
Oh, that's great. To your point that the audience decides, Joe Coy, you know, hosted the Golden Globes and has been blaming the audience that his monologue jokes didn't hit. And I've found right. that very interesting because I've never really heard somebody, I guess, of his stature come out and be like, the audience just wasn't it tonight.
Right, right, right. And who knows, man? Like, I've never hosted any Golden Globes right. or anything like that. Who knows what that's like?
Yeah, it's a whole other bag.
Right, right.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, A List of Wet Celebrities, it's out January 25th. It's on YouTube, I believe, 6 p.m. Central?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep, so get on YouTube ahead of time and make sure to get in line so that you can be notified right away when it's available, but... you're a horror movie fan, right?
That's correct.
So would you say you're like someone that watch, I mean, you're probably watching horror movies 12 months out of the year, right? Not just October.
Oh yeah. The good ones. Yeah.
Okay. So my brother, him and his wife, they're hardcore as well. They got married on Halloween actually. So the wedding reception was a costume party. It was incredible.
That's a lot of fun. That's a ton of fun.
But my my favorite thing to do is the beginning of October to ask him what I need to watch, like what horror movies are coming up that maybe I've missed. Because I, for so long, I've been just the main ones, you know, Nightmare, Friday the 13th, Halloween, you know, all that, mm-hmm. trying to get into more and more. Recently, I've gotten into Terrifier.
That's one I've not watched yet.
Okay, man.
I hear great things.
Yes. There's two out now and great movies. Oh dang, I was hoping you'd seen them because I was curious of what your thoughts were of the second one versus the first one. But so what horror movies, I guess, are kind of your go-tos?
Oh, my go-tos. If someone wants to watch a good horror movie, I like okay, I think the reason I like horror movies and my favorite horror movies are the ones that can only be described as horror because they become so strange that they couldn't be anything else.
Okay.
Like, have you ever seen Mandy?
No, I have not seen that.
Nicolas Cage, Pantos Cosmatos. It's simply a revenge movie, but it is so strange and bizarre. And it can only be horror. It Follows. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. Very good movie.
Yeah, I love It Follows. That's another one.
I love it how goofy it is. The concept of it, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot to it, but it's just sort of this thing that it's like it's always coming because that dread is what's really scary.
Yeah.
It Comes at Night.
I think I watched that last year.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Other people don't, but I like it a lot. Fright Night, the old 80s vampire one.
Yep.
That's a fun one. Halloween 3.
I went back and rewatched Halloween's this past October, and mm-hmm. I can't decide if I like that that era of Halloween or if I'm really enjoying the kind of superhero-ish way he is now in the newer ones.
Right. 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 Well, with the Halloween 3, that's the Silver Shamrock one where it's because originally the Halloween movies were supposed to be like an anthology of things that happened in Halloween on the same Halloween around the country. And the first two were the Michael Myers one. And the third one, they changed stories to like this, these masks that are going to kill all the children. And it's Halloween 3, but it has nothing to do with the other Halloweens.
So it's a standalone. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that one. Rosemary's Baby, The Witch, the original Wicker Man, Trick or Treat. That one's like, that's in every Halloween watch.
100%. It's a classic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one that got me into it was the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
I love that one. All the Evil Deads, besides for the Evil Dead Rises, I hated that.
Did you see Barbarian?
I saw Barbarian. I love Barbarian.
Yeah, fantastic movie. Didn't know where it was going. And I think that's what I love the most about it, because it was just kind of goofy, and then it just took us on a ride.
Right. Do you remember the sketch comedy group, Whitest Kids You Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrote and directed that.
No way.
I think Zach Krieger from Wise Kids You Know wrote and directed Barbarian.
See, that's the kind of stuff that's there should be more of that. Like, they're bringing that type of style and thought process and bring it to a whole new genre. Like, it's so entertaining.
Right. I mean, and think about Jordan Peele with Us and Nope and Get Out. All those, like, that's another comedian doing horror better than anyone else.
Better than anybody. Yeah, he's at the top of the game immediately.
Right. And but you think about it, it's sort of the same thing where you're manipulating people's emotions. You know, you want people to laugh or you want people to be terrified. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to know which buttons to push.
I remember watching Us for the first time, and I remember thinking, this is one of, like, scariest horror movies / comedy movies I've watched just because it had my heart pumping. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right, right. And it's such an interesting idea. And same thing with Nope. I just rewatched that. But yeah, I mean, he just, like, he has his own ideas and he puts them out there. I feel like there's so many movies that are just like genre films where, like, I just saw Thanksgiving, which was fine, but it was just Scream in Boston. You know, it's the same thing, but it's a fine movie, but it's nothing incredible.
Right. You could say it's one of those movies where it's like, all right, I watched a new horror movie this year.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's awesome.
I love, like, Scream and like the Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is my favorite one. But you watch them, you know exactly what you're going to get. You know what it's going to go like and everything, which is fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But but it's not as exciting as, like you said, like, where is this going to go? No
Right.
idea.
Yeah, I love the idea of being completely tricked into where the story goes, but I don't know. There's something to, I guess that's why I like pop punk music, because I know what I get in it, and it's fun and it's catchy and I can sing along, and you know, and it's nothing too crazy. It's not going to win any Grammys or anything, but it's fun.
Right. Yeah, comforting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and it's weird to think that Freddy Krueger is comforting, but you know, he really is for me.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he's a familiar character. I get that. I mean, I'm the same way with a lot of my stuff.
Something that kind of surprised me when I watched your special, you're a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, huge Seahawks fan.
How? How did you become a Seahawks fan?
You know, there's no good reason. Like, you know, like, who's your team?
I'm a Chargers fan, but I grew up in San Diego.
Okay, so that makes sense. Like, you know, a lot of the time when you're in Nebraska or Iowa, you're going to become the, like, the team that your dad's into or your family's into or, you know, whatever. My dad's not into football. No one in my family is into football. I just remember watching TV, and, like, there was two people that I remember from growing up, and it was Bo Jackson and Brian Bosworth. And I thought Brian Bosworth was the coolest player.
He's a badass, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I obviously didn't actually watch football or know what was going on, but then it was just like, oh, hell yeah, the Seahawks. And then, and they're like, what, 2004 Super Bowl 40 run with Sean Alexander and Matt Hasselbeck with the Mike Holmgren Seahawks. That's like when I really got into football and was like, I listened to Seattle Sports Talk Radio before podcasts, like you could stream it. So I used to stream it through their site and listen to Seattle Sports Talk Radio. And
there's nothing better than listening to your favorite team's local, like, sports talk.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I've been doing that ever since. I mean, I remember the press conference and the commentary of the press conference of when Pete Carroll got hired.
Wow.
You know, and how much they hated Jim Mora Jr. the season before. So now, like, who knows who the coach is going to be this time, but it's going to be interesting to hear how it goes.
So you were through the whole ride with Pete Carroll, and that's just a classic, like, legendary run for him. I mean, he's done this is like two careers for him. He had a Hall of Fame career at USC, and then he goes to Seattle and does it. I mean, are you sad to see him go?
I mean, it's bittersweet because, like, he's my favorite coach of all time. And when he first came in, I didn't like him. You know, I'm a Nebraska fan. He was USC, and he was dominant, and he was like a Nick Saban type, where it was just like, God, let someone else win. And so he went to Seattle, and I was like, I don't know about this guy. But then, like, they started winning, and I listened to interviews with him. I was like, I really like him because he's just a friggin' hippie. You know, he's just like, he's like a Bill Walton type, where he's just all about positive and meditation and visualization and the quiet. I even read his book, you know, about grit, determination, philosophy, taking care of the whole person. I'm like, this guy sort of rules. So I like Pete Carroll. I think he's really an interesting person. But the last 3 or 4 years have been nothing but straight up mediocrity.
He fit that culture out there perfectly. It was probably the right coach at the right time. But yeah, to your point, the last 3 years, it's a struggle just to get, I mean, obviously to get to the postseason, but just to look like a consistent team week to week.
Right, right. I mean, and he's a defensive coach. He was known for the Legion of Boom and like having these stifling defenses. And the past like 2 years, they've been 30th and 32nd in run defense. And like, that's not going to work. And he replaced the defensive coordinator. You know, he had Ken Norton, now it's Clint Hurt. And it just got worse. So it's schematic. So there's something wrong. And he revamped the whole front line, you know, and nothing worked. So obviously whatever he is putting out there to stop the run isn't working. And I don't know what's going to work or what he should do, but obviously whatever he thought was going to work didn't.
Yeah.
So,
and it's telling that, you lose Russell Wilson and he wasn't the answer, moving forward, and it became more apparent in Denver, but you lose someone who can at least keep you semi-competitive with a leaky defense, and that's right. Yeah, then it really starts the show. But.
Right. Well, I mean, like Gino is like, he is fun to watch and he's good, and he kept him in ball games when the defense couldn't. And I mean, I don't know what they're going to do moving on, if they're going to draft someone in the first round or not, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting because I think they may like strip it down to the studs. They don't have much salary cap, so they're going to have to. They're going to have to get rid of a lot of big names.
Yeah, it seems like that's been a tight squeeze with the salary cap really ever since the first Russell Wilson contract, like the big contract. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's kind of when the defense started to decline. But yeah, I mean, right. It's fun. My team, the Chargers, we're a complete train wreck. So I envy sure. teams like Seattle that at least are on the brink of something and maybe just need a few pieces. But yeah, I think we're both in the same boat. It's gonna get blown up.
Right, right. Well, I feel like the Chargers have a good enough roster, so they can compete. But you know, I assume it's coaching because Staley doesn't have a great reputation. But I'm not smart enough about football to know exactly why, nor do I watch all the Chargers games, so I don't know what's going on.
It's good mental health to not watch Charger games. there's a mm-hmm. slogan called Chargering, and it's a real thing where we will Charger the end of every game, and it's heartbreaking. My son, he's 13, he no longer gets sad. He just knows it's we're going to lose in a heartbreaking way, and it is what it is.
So it's a lot like being a Husker fan.
It is so similar to being a Husker fan. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I can't imagine.
Yeah, so the fall is a rough time around this household, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's voluntary, but still, I get it.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take one daily Jardiance. And each day starts. As time went on, it was easy to see. I'm lowering my A1C.
Comments on this YouTube video for this commercial are incredible. The top one. I got into a car crash recently, and I thought I'd never walk again. Thank you, Jardiance. Your commercial gave me the strength to walk to get the remote and turn off the TV. My father passed away, and at his viewing, this commercial came on, and he rose from his casket and turned off the TV. Thank you, Jardiance. You gave me one more moment with my father before we buried him. Oh, thank you, Jardiance, for this wonderful laugh and for sponsoring Laugh With Me. Now back to the show. Well, this is the part of the show I like to work out or give a new joke idea, something I'm working on, and and this is something I've never told or anything, so I'll run through the joke, and then you tell me if I have anything with it, or if I need to just completely throw it away, or if I just need to quit and give up altogether. But I'm going to pitch the joke, and then you tell me your thoughts. Now, if it's funny, it's okay to laugh. Like, a lot of the guests will just sit in silence. And I often wonder if it's because it's not funny, because then they'll say, oh, yeah, that's funny. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right, right.
But it's silent. All right. So I've been wishing a lot lately that I had diabetes. And it's 100% based on just, like, the commercials I watch. Okay. Like, just the other day, I saw this Jardiance commercial where they're, you know, singing and dancing about lowering their A1C, and you know, like they're in a musical, and I've always like thought it'd be cool to be in a musical, and I thought if I had diabetes, you know, maybe I'd have a shot.
Right, right.
Instead, I'm stuck with Crohn's disease, and my Skyrizi just allows me to have a great time on a roller coaster.
I like it. I like it. I think you should enter in from the, like, I have Crohn's disease. I wish I had diabetes. Okay. Because their commercials are more fun.
There you go. All right. I like that.
Because, like, I love riding roller coaster, but I'd rather be in a musical. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really funny because also, I mean, why, like, if these diseases are so bad, why is everyone having such a great time all the time?
That's the thing. They run through, like, all the side effects. All the things that you're going through that are just painful and hard to live with, but they are having the time of their lives.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. I'll I'll get Crohn's disease and go on a roller coaster. If that's how, yeah, you must you must have this much intestinal stress to ride this ride.
I like that. All right, so I might have something with that joke, is what you're saying.
Right, right. Yeah.
All right, all right. I'll work that out on stage then. Awesome. Well, Zach Peterson, we've got the new special, A List of Wet Celebrities, January 25th, available on YouTube. We also have the audio version, which is available January 19th, and you can find that pretty much anywhere, right? Spotify, Apple, Amazon?
That's correct. That's through Burn This These Records from Los Angeles. Yeah, it's going to be all over. Pre-orders are available for that on Bandcamp. Yeah.
Awesome.
Listen to it. It sounds great. It looks great. I'm so excited for people to hear and see it.
I if it's anything like what I saw in person, this is going to translate on video. So you have to go see it. It's on YouTube. A List of What Celebrities, Zach Peterson Comedy, for all the tour dates. What's coming up in 2024, man? What's coming in the future?
Oh, what is coming up in the future? I got a long time. I got 2 weeks in Denver coming up. Nothing. I mean, outside of this, getting this thing off the ground and pushing it and making as many people watch this thing as possible, I don't have any huge plans besides writing, performing, and working on the next one. But maybe that'll change.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it so much, and I hope to see you soon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
I have type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take once daily, Jardiance.
Everyone is welcome at the Big Table on Tuesday, October 21st. All across Central Ohio, people will join together to discuss important topics affecting our region. Don't miss your chance to be part of this community-wide day of inspiring conversations. Visit columbusfoundation.org to learn more about how you can participate. Together, we can inspire a culture of connection and kindness, one conversation at a time.